Reading from Romans chapter 8, the last two verses of the chapter. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul here, he lists 10 things that he is persuaded are incapable of separating Christians from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. None of these 10 things shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, child of God. Christ Jesus is our Lord. Doesn't the apostle here conclude, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? That's the thing. He is our Lord. We believe in him, we trust in him, and we are joined to him by faith. And being joined to him by faith, you are enfolded and enclosed within the love of God. That's you, child of God. Enclosed and sheltered in the divine love in Christ. And the cords of everlasting love that have drawn you to Jesus Christ, that's what has happened. These cords of love, these cords of everlasting love have drawn you to Christ. As the Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah 31 verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee, drawn with bonds of love, as Hosea 11 verse 4 says. And in those bonds or cords of love that have drawn you, they have so secured you to Christ. That love is like cords that ties you unbreakably to the Saviour. The cords of love which drew you wrap around you. They secure you and they tie you to Jesus Christ. You're bound to him with that divine love. And the child of God can never be severed from that. You can never be severed from Christ. Those cords of love can never be broken. Nothing can break those chains of divine love which tie you and secure you to Jesus Christ, in whom you trust and believe. Now, of the 10 things listed, I draw your attention to the 8th in verse 39, nor height. And that's our subject today, nor height. Nothing tall, no high thing can sever you from Christ. Top lady puts it, things future nor things that are now, not all things below are above. High things can make him his purpose forgo or sever my soul from his love. This word height as a noun only occurs in one other place in the New Testament. And if I read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, if we turn there now, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, the Apostle Paul here is writing about the Christian warfare and our spiritual weapons. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so in describing what these weapons can do, the weapons of the Christian warfare, what these weapons can do through divine grace and through God's power, Paul says that they pull down, they cast down. And Paul describes three things that are pulled down or cast down. First of all, strongholds, pulling down of strongholds, then the casting down of imaginations. And they themselves are high things. Strongholds, those are high things. Satan's strongholds are in the heights. And imaginations, they're proud and lofty high things as well. Men's imaginations and things that the devil would put into our mind, the philosophies of hell, these imaginations that are not of God. They're proud and lofty things, and they're being cast down by the weapons of warfare. But there are other high things that Paul doesn't mention. And Paul just sums these up, every high thing. And that word high thing there is the same word as height. Paul has used this word twice, nor height and every height, or every high thing. Every tall thing, every proud thing, every exalted thing. And so do you see what Paul is saying from both of these passages? On the one hand, no high thing can defeat the Christian. At least not to the extent where that high thing would get ultimate victory and sever the Christian from Christ. No high thing can sever from Christ. Quite the reverse. 2 Corinthians now, the child of God with the weapons of Christ's warfare and through Christ will bring down every high thing. So, nor height, high things won't prevail. Rather, the Christian will prevail against the high things and bring the high things down. Nor height, every high thing. The high thing will never win. The high thing will lose and be brought down. That's your privilege, child of God. That's what you have through grace in Jesus Christ. And so you see, for Christians in the kingdom of grace, for saints in this present age, in the now, not yet, it is true for us, as it was true for the old covenant people of God. There were giants in the land. That's true for us today too. There are giants in the land. There are giants in this our age. This age into which the kingdom of God has come through grace, through our exalted King Jesus Christ. And as we go forward in his name, there are giants in the land. Paul says, no height, every height, every high thing. Moses and Joshua, they would have said, no giant will stop you. Or, every giant you will bring down. That's what Moses and Joshua would have said. But Paul says, no height, every high thing. Every tall thing, every giant. You see, it was the high things that struck fear in the ancient people of God in the Old Testament times. The giants, the high things, filled Israel with unbelief. After Israel left Egypt, they were on the threshold of the Promised Land at Kadesh Barnea. You remember at that time the Lord spake to Moses? He says, Moses, gather men, get 12 men, send them into the land of Canaan to search it out. One from every tribe, each one a ruler of the tribe, send them into the land to spy. Moses, he obeyed the commandment of the Lord, and he laid aside these men, and he sent them in with their mission, a very specific mission. Those 12 men included Joshua and Caleb. And Moses sent them to spy out the land, give them the directions. They carried out their task, and they returned after 40 days of searching the land. And they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel back to Kadesh, and they brought back word unto them, and they told the congregation and showed the congregation the fruit. They brought back the fruit from the land, the fruits. It looked so impressive, all the fruit. And they said, "We came unto the land where thou didst send us, and it's flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled. They're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They're the giants." And Caleb had to still the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it." But the other men that went up with him, excluding Joshua, they give a negative report. "We be not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that swallows up the inhabitants. And the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature, great height. They have height. They're tall. They're giants. We saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And we were the same in their sight. We were just tiny. But they were high. They were tall." And the effects of this unbelieving report was devastating on the people. Fear and unbelief gripped Israel. "Whether shall we go up?" they said. "Our brethren have discouraged our heart. The people is greater and taller than we," they have said. "The cities are great, and they're walled up to heaven. The walls are high. And moreover, the sons of the Anakim are there, the giants." And so they saw the height of the walls and the height of the inhabitants. And they trembled and they were afraid. And all the children of Israel, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And they began to complain again. And say, "Oh, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness." The Lord's going to give them their wish. But before that, Joshua and Caleb appealed to them. "Oh, if the Lord delight in us, he'll bring us in. He'll give it to us. He's promised. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear. Don't be afraid of the people. They're bread for us. We'll eat them up. We'll swallow them. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord's with us. Don't be afraid." So Joshua and Caleb had faith. They could say, nor height. They could say every high thing. Like Paul could say. That's what, in effect, they're saying. Nor height will stop us. If the Lord delight in us, the Lord's with us. We cannot be severed from the promise by the giants. Only believe. We have the mighty one. We shall overcome. We will pull down the strongholds. We'll cast down the high things. Every high thing. But the exhortation of faith was in vain. The word didn't mix with faith in the hearts of the unbelievers. They had no faith. All the congregation bid stone them with stones. Unbelief prevailed. They entered not in because of unbelief. their hearts were hardened, and they perished in the wilderness. And they didn't see the victory, and they didn't enter into the victory. The high things struck fear in the people. The height caused them to tremble. The giants filled Israel with unbelief. But 40 years passed, and there arose another generation. It was a generation of faith, a generation that believed God, that was going to trust the Lord, a generation who were to believe nor hate, a people of faith who would say, every high thing will be brought down. And do you know what the Lord did before he brought them across the Jordan into the Canaan to face the giants at Hebron? Before he brought Israel into Canaan west of the Jordan, he led them into Mount Seir and the land of Edom, and brought them on a march northward on the east of Israel, northward east of Jordan, into the plains of Moab, then east of the river Jordan, into the land of the Amorites, and as far north as Bashan. And do you know why it was? Why did the Lord do that? He brought them way up there to Bashan, and then he brought them down again to the plains of Moab to cross Jordan. Why did he do that? It was a tour of lands where giants were extinct. There was only one giant left. His name was Og. Right at the top up there, King of Bashan, Og. And whenever the spies spied the land, the giants were living in the vicinity of Hebron on the west. But when God brought Israel up the east, they went through territories where the giants used to live in great numbers, but were now extinct. And God brought them up, and he's saying as they go, see where the giants used to live, but you don't see them anymore. He is saying, as he brings them up the east, he is saying, nor height, every high thing I have dealt with on the east. You read it in Deuteronomy 2. The Lord giving them direction and guidance, he says, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot a possession. The Ammonites dwelt there in time past. Who were they? They were a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. And so the Lord brought them through. This is where the Ammonites lived. They were giants. They had height. They were tall. But you can't find them anymore. They're gone. Every high thing is gone in the land of Moab now. And then he brought them on. Brought them on up. The children of Ammon, don't distress them either. Don't meddle with them. I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon for a possession, because I've given it unto the children of Lot. That also was accounted a land of giants, God says. Giants dwelt there in old time. And the Ammonites called them the Zamzumins. And they were a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. So you see what God is doing? He's bringing them through the land. He said, the giants used to be here, but they're not here anymore. I removed them. I dealt with the giants. They're gone. God is giving them a tour of giant fossils to encourage them, to tell them no high thing, not any height. And so God brought them up, and he brought them around to do this. The Lord reminded Israel of this through Amos as well. yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. God is reminding the people there, before you even went through the land east of the Dead Sea and of the Jordan, the giants used to live there, but I removed them. I destroyed them root and branch, from the roots beneath and their fruit from above. In other words, I utterly destroyed them. Can't find any more giants there. They're gone. Tall, proud, mighty ones. But God destroyed them. And he's bringing them up to show them this. This was the land of the giants. Now the giants are living in Hebron, on the west. But he's showing them what he's done on the east to encourage them. Nor hate every high thing. The march continued northward. And it began to become a military campaign now. Because you see, the Amorites opposed them. And they had the battle with the Amorites. And you know what happened? They slew the famous kings. They slew Zion, the king of the Amorites. And they slew Og, the king of Bashan. He's also an Amorite. But both these kings were slain. But this man Og, he was the last of the giants east of the Jordan. Deuteronomy 3 verse 11. For only Og. Do you see that? Only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. This is interesting. His bed is in the museum. It's his couch. It's 14 feet long. Imagine a bed 14 feet long and 6 feet wide. He's a giant. He's the last giant. And through God they have killed him. And they saw the giant's bed. He was brought down. He's dead on his bed. They travailed. God taught them, nor hate every high thing. Will be brought down. And now they're ready to travel south again, retracing their steps to the plains of Moab, ready to cross the Jordan. So God brought them up there to do what? To kill the last giant on the east, so that they will see his high bed. So that they will see that no height nor and every high thing God will bring down. Now they're ready to cross over and to face the living giants in the west. And Caleb eventually did. And he took the city of Anak. That's where the giants lived. You read about it in Joshua 15 verses 13 to 14. On to Caleb. He gave a part among the children of Israel, Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the 3 sons of Anak. The giants were dealt with. They were driven out. They were swallowed up. Nor height, and every high thing brought down. And God would not let Israel forget about the giants. They were dead, but their memory entered into the geography of the land. In the geography of the land, they could pinpoint all the places where the giants used to be. And even in the land, some of the place names got place names after the giants. God wouldn't let them forget. God reminded them even in the very geography. God is saying to them, nor hate every high thing, never forget Every head will be brought down. Most famous of all was the Valley of Rephaim. From the plural of Rapha, giant, the Valley of Giants. But no longer one in sight. No longer one to be seen. They're all fossilized. All brought down. Every giant. Only among the Philistines did some giants remain. Until the shepherd of Bethlehem came. David the Anointed. He dealt with the chief giant Goliath. You know the story. And in later years, David's mighty ones, David's heroes, the followers of David, the servants of David, the ones who were close to David, they finished the rest of the giants off. Now, what is all this about giants? It is this, brethren and sisters, that God is bigger than anything that stands in the way of his people. As far as God's people are concerned, in Christ, there is no high thing that can prevent them obtaining the promises of everlasting life. There is no high thing that will prevent them getting into the promised rest. Through faith, every child of God will be more than a conqueror. And so the child of God's redemption in Christ is greater than every high thing, than all the giants. The real giants are God and his Christ. Where does the gospel begin? Where does the gospel end? The gospel begins in the heights. In the highest. And it ends in the same place. In the heights. In the highest. The gospel begins among the true giants. How does John's gospel begin? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God came into the world. He came from the highest. The Most High came from the highest into the world. The true giants. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How does Luke begin? And again, Luke, there is this emphasis on the height of Christ. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 32, concerning the Christ child, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Here's Christ. Here's our Redeemer. We don't have to fear any height. We don't have to fear the high things, because the one who came into the world for us, who is he? He is the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. And what was David? David was the giant killer. In verse 35, Luke chapter 1, the angel again, Gabriel, he answered in Mary and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And listen to it. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That's why there's no height. That's why every high thing will be brought down. Because it was the power of the highest that overshadowed the womb of Mary. So that the holy thing which should be born of her is the Son of God. Remember how John the Baptist's father, he got faith again. His voice came back again. The spirit of prophecy seized him, and he says, thou, child, shalt be called the prophet, and listen to it, the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Who is the Lord Jesus? He's the highest. And John the Baptist, he's a prophet of the highest. He's a prophet of Jesus. He's going before the face of Jesus. He's going before the face of the Lord to prepare the way for the Lord. And that Lord is the highest. He's the real giant. And John's father goes on to speak about Christ. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us. Do you see how the gospel commences with this emphasis of the height and the highest? Not just the height, but the highest. He's the highest. He's not just high. He's not just every high thing. He's above all that. He's the highest. What did the angels sing? Listen to it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Even the devils knew this. You remember the demoniac? He saw Jesus. He cried out with a loud voice. It was a strange word. What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God, Most High. Most High. He's the Most High. So that's where the Gospels begin, in the heights. Coming from the highest, coming down to earth, dying for our sins. How does it end? Back in the heights again. The Lord Jesus, as he's about to leave his disciples, what does he say to them after the resurrection? Just about to ascend and to go up again into the heights, into the highest. He says, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I'm going to ascend to my Father. I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to send him down to you from the highest, from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany, and then he blessed them. And it came to pass, when he blessed them, he was parted from them, and he was carried up into heaven, into the heights, into the highest. And they worshipped him. He's gone out of their sight, and they're worshipping him still. Because he is the Most High, who's ascended up on high, and has ascended up on high and led captivity captive, and he's going to give gifts unto men. And the greatest gift of all from on high is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is why nor height. That is why every high thing will be brought down. So do you see what Paul means here? Nor height. And every high thing cast down. Do you see why? Now, Christians are not tall and high in themselves. No, no. We are to be humble. And we must be humble. And to be humble in Christ, in him, we're giants. We're giants. Remember how the Lord Jesus said about the Pharisee and the publican, that parable, and how the publican was beating upon his breast and he was just so contrite and broken, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He was humbled. What did the Lord Jesus say? He went home justified. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And so in Christ, we are set on high. In Christ, child of God, in Christ, mind you, you're humble in Christ in yourself, but in Christ, there's nothing bigger than the church. There's nothing bigger than the people of God. Child of God, see what you are in Christ And in Christ, no height will sever you from his love. And in Christ, every high thing you will bring down. You are risen with him. You are ascended in him. What giants stand in the way of saints? Well, there's death. It's a giant. Then there's Satan. Then there's the proud, ungodly, the world. And then there are these great philosophies, human philosophies, these ideas of proud men. Men who have denied God and lifted themselves above God. And the greatest philosophy, the high-flying philosophy today is evolution. And we are just like grasshoppers with our little Bible. And the giants come out and they mock us with our Bible. Didn't Goliath mock David? He looked about and he saw David. As if he's expecting somebody else to come, he just sees David. And he disdained him. He's just a youth. Just a lad. He says, "Am I a dog? You come out to me with a stick." Philistine cursed David. But he disdained him. He mocked him. Have you got your little Bible there? We have science. We have learning. We have all of this. And they laugh at us, mock us. Every high thought will be brought down. God's people are sure of victory. In Christ, we can say, as Psalm 118 says, "All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yeah, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." Isn't that what David said to Goliath? He says, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield. Oh, it looks big. Your spear is so gigantic. It's like yourself and your sword and your shield. Huge like you. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, I will bring you down. In the name of the Lord, you will be brought low. In the name of the Lord, death and every giant and Satan and every proud thing that exalteth itself against God and the Antichrist, the man who sinned, who sets himself up in the temple of God and who exalteth himself above God, in the name of the Lord, the church will see everything brought down. And Jesus Christ will stand alone, supreme, the Son of the Highest. O unconverted sinner, while the people of God can rejoice, what about you, unconverted sinner? How can you face giant death? How can you face giant grave? How can you face giant eternity as you are? You cannot. You need Christ. You need to be joined to him who is exalted on high at the right hand of the Father. You need Christ. So be drawn to him by faith and be joined to him. Enter into the highest and find your refuge and your victory in Jesus Christ alone.